This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to another edition of our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. This morning, we have from the U of M our friend Julie Weisenhorn. Good morning, Julie.
Hey, Danny, how are you today?
I'm doing quite well. Looking at that forecast.
I know.
I think I've stopped looking at my lawn, however.
And yeah.
It's, boy, pretty nasty. And now I know you're going to be joined by John Trappi, our turf guy from the U of M, any moment now. And John's going to be with us, too. So I want to alert our listeners, if you have any kind of a lawn question, so certainly any kind of a gardening question as well. But specifically, if you have questions about your lawn, you're going to want to ask those questions of John Trappi from the U of M this particular hour. Julie, in the meantime, while we're waiting for John to connect, I've got a text real early this morning, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
It said, my question for you today is, I grow garlic. That's something I wanted to do. And I was wondering, should I plant it now or should I wait one more week? Thank you so much for your show.
You can plant it now or you can wait another week. Planting garlic is great. First of all, it's a really easy plant to grow. It's doesn't take up a lot of room, so it can tuck into places in your garden. And there are many, many different local garlic growers, Minnesota garlic growers, that you can purchase bulbs from. You do want to purchase bulbs versus buying the ones from the grocery store. Those are different kinds of garlic. They're grown in California. They're not always hardy here, but they also are sometimes treated so that they won't actually produce new growth, so that they, you know, so they don't start growing in the grocery store, basically. So you do want to buy your garlic for, we call it seed garlic, and there are a number of different great garlic providers here in Minnesota. You can look at the Minnesota Grow website, and they have lists of different garlic growers there, or just Google Garlic Growers Minnesota. So, yeah,
I'm gonna
it's
do
a
that.
Great plant.
I'm
yeah,
gonna try that.
You can do it now, and you can just have a small area. You don't need to plant, you know, an acre of garlic.
That's good.
And the best part about garlic is when they bud in the spring, you actually cut those off. They're called scapes. And you can saute those up, and they're delicious. They're a real mild garlic flavor.
Mm.
And then in mid-July or so, when the plants start to kind of, about half of the plant starts to die back, then you can just lift those bulbs out carefully. So you kind of get two crops out of your garlic.
All right. That's
yeah,
my kind
good.
Of gardening. I like that.
Yeah. Hey, John's on too now.
I think John is with us. Good morning. John Trappi is back with us this morning, our turf expert here on CCO from the U of M. John and Julie, I was mentioning to Julie earlier that my lawn looks terrible, first of all. But then it dawned on me, Julie, this morning, I have hardly touched my lawnmower for, I think, 2 months.
Yeah. No water basically means no growth. So, you know, that's kind of a silver lining with it for those that like to have a lazier lawn. This has certainly been, been a year for that.
I want to alert our listeners, if you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, if you're a regular listener, you know how busy we tend to get. So call us or text us with your lawn or garden question, 651-461-9226. As I said at the top, if you have specifically questions about turf, your lawn, grasses, call us, text us, 651-461-9226. Julie and John, I see Tom in Golden Valley is on the horn with a first question of the day here. Tom, what is your question? Good morning.
Well, good morning. There's a plant, I'm not sure if it's a wildflower or a weed, that is kind of taking over the shady fringes of my yard. It has pretty white flowers in clusters, maybe about 10 in a cluster, grows to about 3 to 4 feet high. The leaves are toothed and kind of heart-shaped. And what is it? It's going to seed right now. What is it, and how does it reproduce, and how do I get rid of it because it's kind of invading my ferns and other areas of my garden?
Yeah, so the best thing to do for identification is to take a couple pictures of it, maybe the whole plant, and then also a close-up of the flowers and leaves, and send it to Ask an Expert. It's on our extension.umn.edu website under Yard and Garden. That's the first thing. But anytime there's a plant like that, that particularly if it's flowering and going to seed and you don't know what it is, you should pull it out. Just because, you know, you don't know what it is, it's growing everywhere, it's taking over, chances are it is a weed of some kind or a non-desirable plant. So I would go ahead and pull it out. But in the meantime, just to get it identified, just go ahead and send it to that, to Ask Extension.
All right, very good. John and Julie, I'm looking at the text screen, and there's a bunch of text about moles. This seems to be a big season for moles, and I know we've talked about it for years, about the technique, the best way to get rid of them, and I call it the guillotine. I won't go into detail, but are there other ways of getting rid of these critters? And boy, they can do a lot of damage.
There are a number of baits that can work for moles, but they typically resemble things like earthworms or a slug or something that you can put down in their tunnel that can kill them. One of the problems with that is you're just not sure what else is going to be eating that bait that might kill that mole. So what my favorite technique for moles is literally just grabbing a lawn chair and your favorite beverage and just wait them out. And just use a standard pitchfork or a lawn or a spade.
Oh my!
To dig them out. So it might be a little bit more gruesome than some people are willing to do, but it's basically tried and true and works nearly every time because they retrace their tunnels every few hours. So as long as you step down their tunnels, you can see when and where they're active. So that's what I think that's what most turf professionals do is really just wait them out.
Why do you get moles in the first place?
Yeah, good
question, Julie. So moles, many people have the misconception that that they are feeding on white grubs. They really feed on all kinds of soft bodies insects, but what they're mostly feeding on are earthworms. So and earthworms are pretty much everywhere. We don't necessarily want to discourage them, so trying to reduce the amount of earthworms you have is not necessarily going to reduce the amount of moles you have, because there's a lot of other benefits behind having certain types of worms.
So I have another question about the follow-up on the worms. So there are the jumping worms, which are the composting worms that, are the worms that feed on the up in the top couple of inches of duff layer and young plants. But then there's also the European earthworms that burrow quite deeply. So which ones do you think, would the moles be eating the jumping worms, or would they be going deeper? Or do we even know?
I'm not sure if we have data on that, but I do know that, we've had moles before we had jumping worms. So,
right.
I would assume that they're feeding on all different kinds of worms and soft body insects.
I know we have to take a break here. In the meantime, I'm going to go sharpen my pitchfork, but I want to remind our listeners.
Get your beverage.
Yes, my lawn chair from By the Yard, of course. I'm going to remind our listeners, Sandra, Grace, Angela, we're going to get your calls, so don't go away. We're going to take a quick break and come right back, 651-461-9226 for your lawn or garden questions for Julie or John this Saturday morning here on Newstalk 830 WCCO. It's a Saturday morning. We talk lawns and gardens every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. We call it Smart Garden. This morning, Julie Weisenhorn and John Trappi from the University of Minnesota answering specific garden and lawn questions this morning, because John has come back with Julie this morning to help us out. So keep that in mind if you have turf questions. But John and Julie, a lot of callers, a lot of texters. So let's see how many folks we can help out here. Sandra's calling in from Iowa this first up. Thank you for waiting. What part of Iowa are you calling from?
I'm calling from Rockford, which is about 20 miles east of Mason City.
Have you ever heard of Webster City?
Yes, sir.
That was my first.
Not that big, you know.
No, I know. That was my first radio job until they ran me out of town. But that was they're lovely people there. But Sandra, what is
their loss?
Lucky for us.
That's their loss. I like that. Sandra, what's your question, please?
Well, I'm actually calling for my daughter from Minnesota, though I listen to you every Saturday morning, and I love your show. My daughter in Minnesota lives in Wasika, and she has a big, beautiful tree. We don't know what it is in her backyard, but it's very old, and we feel like it needs to be thinned out so the sun can get in. But she cannot find a tree trimmer. There's tree hackers or choppers. You know what I'm saying.
Sure,
there are people who cut down trees, but they don't really know how to prune a tree good, a big tree.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so she's looking for one.
Yeah.
Sounds like it, yeah.
Okay. Well, I think, boy, the only thing I can do, I can recommend is, one thing she could do is, in Wasika, we have our Southern Research and Outreach Center for the University of Minnesota, and she could give a call to their office there and ask for any recommendations of certified tree arborists in the area. They may know of someone. If they don't know of anyone, she could also look at the International Society of Arboriculture, ISA, and you can find that link on our extension site for Yard and Gardens at extension.umn.edu and go to Trees and Shrubs. And there's a link there. It's on how to hire a tree care professional. And it also has some really good information for the homeowner, like good questions to ask and things to expect. So, but then there's a link there about finding an arborist in your area. But I would try calling the Southern Research and Outreach Center main office. That's right in Wasika.
Wasika. All right. Good. Sandra, thank you. Appreciate the call from Iowa. I'm going to grab another phone call, then we'll pick up on some text, too. Grace calling in, I believe, from Hugo this morning. Grace, thank you for hanging on. What is your question?
Yes. I've got a lawn question. I fertilized my little 1,000 square feet of lawn about 3 weeks ago. And, you know, I've been keeping it green. Would it be overkill to do another application for fall?
Yeah, we're getting to the time of year where it might be a little bit too late for fall fertilization, if that's what you're referring to for another application, is fertilizing. If you are going to fertilize, it looks like it's going to be warm still, you know, for about the next 10 days. If you are going to fertilize, I would only use a fertilizer source that contains ammonium sulfate or urea. So just nitrogen. It's going to be water-soluble nitrogen, and it needs to be watered in if you're going to fertilize. But for much of the state, we're getting to be too late in the year where the plants are going to be able to use those nutrients. It's better just to wait for the spring.
Wait till spring. Okay. Can I transplant my Asian lilies yet, or is it too late?
Transplant your Asian lilies. No, it's probably not too late. I'm assuming that by transplant, you're moving them from one area to another. So, yes, you could still do that. Again, just like with the lawn fertilizer, be sure you water them well. And otherwise, you could wait till spring as well and just do them in the spring. I kind of like to do that personally, but you could plant them now.
One more text, then I'm going to grab another call. Okay to trim back our hydrangeas now.
No, I would hold off on pruning any woody plants at this point, because when we make that pruning cut, we prompt growth in that location. And because we're going to have such warm weather, you could start having some new growth developing on those woody plants, and that new growth is not going to harden off before the cold winter weather. So just hold off on that. Enjoy the flowers through the fall and the winter. It gives you some winter interest, and just take care of that in the spring before bud break.
Okay.
And we have a very good video on pruning hydrangeas, by the way, on our Trees and Shrubs page. Yes.
extension.umn.edu. That's such a great resource. It really is. Great reading.
Yeah.
Great,
thank you.
And a good video, too. Well, you might remind us of that a little bit later. Let's before we have a look at the forecast, Angela, I believe, I hope, is still calling in from Minneapolis this morning. Angela, thank you for waiting. What is your question?
Good morning. I'm collecting some zinnia heads this morning, and my question for seeds, and my question applies to purple coneflower, too. It seems like the head is mostly not seeds, and the seeds are down low by the stem, by the petals. Am I seeing that right? Can you explain seed collecting a little bit on zinnia and purple coneflower?
Sure. So when you collect those seed heads, you want to dry them out. It could be that finches have already eaten the echinacea seed, or it's fallen off already. We've had so much wind, I wouldn't be surprised. So you may look at a seed head and think, like, where are those, you know, where are the seeds? They may have already fallen. But you want to just cut off the seed head and let them dry. You know, be sure that they're very dry. If you store green seed heads, you're going to get mold, basically. And let them dry. You can put them in a paper bag. And that's a good way, because then if seed does fall out, then it's collected in that bag. And just store it in a cool location, cool, dry location. And then in the spring, you can throw it out. You can throw it out in the winter, too, onto bare soil. And sometimes these plants have to go through, depending on the plants, have to go through a cold period like echinacea would. Zinnias are different. Zinnias you would plant as soon as you can work the soil in the spring.
Before we look at weather, is it too early to cover? Texter says, my newly planted hydrangea with leaves, will this attract mice?
No, it's a good thing to cover plants with leaves. They act as a mulch. That mulch helps to moderate the soil temperature so that it's less stressful on the plant as it goes into winter, and likewise as it comes out of winter in the spring. So no, leaves are a great mulch, terrific mulch. Okay. It's not going to attract mice.
Let's take a break. We'll have a look at that forecast. Just a heads up for John. Questions about dormant seeding. I know we were going to get those today, but a couple of questions that I see now via text. When should we put the seed down? Maybe we should kind of define what dormant seeding is when we come back after the weather. Here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, call it in or text it in to Julie Weisenhorn or John Trappe from the U of M at this number, 651-461-9226. Oh, so many, so little time, so many texts. Dormant seeding. We before the break, I mentioned to John and Julie, as you know, about dormant seeding. People want to know what is it and when should the seed be put down. What's the technique there, John?
So dormant seeding, the strategy behind it or what it is really just seeding grass seed at a time of year when you know it's not going to germinate, and you're really just going to rely on the freeze-thaw cycle of the soil and any precipitation, snow, or rain over winter to work that seed down into the soil for seed-to-soil contact, which is so critical for germination. And so the strategy is any time soil temperatures are frozen is a great time to seed. So you can seed any time for, at least for much of Minnesota, that's early November all the way until middle of March, and sometimes even later than that. So, but really the strategy is just spreading the seed over the surface. You don't have to disturb the soil. You can spread it into an existing turf stand, or if you have a pure stand of crabgrass, there are, you know, we've had success with dormant seeding just directly into that without really using any pesticides or fertilizer at the time of seeding. So, anytime from November, or as soon as we have soil temperatures freeze, it could be middle of November, anytime from then until early spring is a great time.
Okay, very good. Texter says this, Julie, what do I do with my amaryllis that I want to bloom again? What's the process there?
So with your amaryllis, we have a great webpage, by the way, on amaryllis under our flower section. Or our houseplant section on extension.umn.edu at Yard and Garden. But in a nutshell, you want to bring that plant indoors. If you have it, I don't know if you've had it outside. They do really well outside in the summer. Bring it in and just put it into a dark place, kind of cool, where it can just die back. The leaves will die back. You don't have to cut them off or anything. Let it die back and take it out in about 12 weeks and just start watering it. Clean it up, start watering it. You don't have to take it out of the pot. You can just put it in a sunny window, start watering it, and it will probably pop up a bud right away.
You know, I haven't asked you if the Abiders are playing anytime soon, and I have a feeling they are.
You're like our greatest promo guy, let me tell you. Yeah, we're actually playing at Terry Train's Orchard, Loose Line Orchard, tomorrow afternoon from 2 to 5.
What a great place that is.
It is fantastic. And Terry's just the best host. I mean, she's just great.
Yes, she is.
And everyone is so nice there, her family and everyone working there. So, yeah, so we'll be there tomorrow. It's out in Watertown, Minnesota, just a little bit west of the metro. And just a great place to play. And then we're also playing again for the 11th year at the Tonka Brew Fest. And that's a benefit for the Rotary in West Tonka. And it is on November 2nd.
So that's November 2nd, but you're going to go to Terry
Loose
Train
Line
and
tomorrow.
Rich's Loose Line Orchard.
Yeah, yeah, it's a great place. You two should come out. You really should.
Well,
you need some
I haven't been there
time.
For a while. Of course, Terry's a dear friend of mine, and I haven't seen Terry for quite a while. I'm going to do that. Just to get out of this house and get to Loose Line Orchard.
It's supposed to be 81, so wear your shorts.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, thanks, Julie, for that.
Thank you.
Texter says, I have two honey crisp apple trees, an apricot, and two pear trees. When can I prune those from the top of the tree so I'm able to have the fruit easier?
Oh, boy. Well, the issue with pears is they're very tall trees, and you don't want to top these trees because you open up the top of the main leader of the plant to a lot of bacterial issues and problems where the water can get down into the tree and can harm it. So you don't want to top these trees. What you want to do is you want to remove crossing leaders or crossing stems and branches, and you want to open up the canopy so that you get light into that center of that plant. Now, that sounds complicated, I know. You want to do this at the end of the winter, and we have a series of apple pruning videos that you can watch that will give you guidelines for pruning your apple trees, and they're essentially the same for the other two fruit trees too. But do not top your trees. I am speaking from experience. I topped my apple tree on not knowing what I was doing and essentially killed it. So, and so do follow those videos and really watch them. This is a great time. You can do it the next couple of months, and around February or March, you can start to do your pruning at that point. Those trees are then dormant, and you're not going to open up issues for insects or disease to get into those wounds that you create by pruning. The plant will be able to heal over before the growing season.
Very good. We're going to go back to the phones. We have a couple of callers on. A quick one, though, John. Good morning. Why is my lawn so lumpy?
Well, there's a multitude of reasons on what would cause that. Most often it's earthworm middens, or they're basically just the entrance for earthworm burrows that can cause that. So in any case, you know, if that's the case, you can roll it. And the rolling will basically knock those little mounds down. You can also go along in the early springtime, you can go and use like a leaf rake and kind of smooth those out, especially if there's any freeze thaw, like heaving in your soil. That can be a great time to roll and kind of rake to smooth out any of those. Sometimes lumpy or bumpy lawns is really just a function of how the grasses are growing. If you have a bunch type grass growing in your lawn, like tall fescue, and it's not a very thick stand, sometimes that can feel lumpy or bumpy as well. But you can add topsoil as well if it's extreme. Try to match the soil type that you're adding as closely to what the soil of your lawn is. But you can do that in very light layers over time, and that can also help smooth out that surface.
Very good. A couple of callers. First up, Jim, calling in from Chanhassen this morning. Thanks for waiting, Jim. What is your question?
Yes, good morning. I love the show. I have a question about wild violet. We have been blessed with some wild violet from a neighbor. And as a result of that, it says it needs to be watered before I do it. Now, I don't have an irrigation system, and we've watered it a little bit in spots, so it's somewhat wet, but of course, this dry weather has been terrible. How much should I wait till it rains some more, or should I water it like crazy, or before I put this stuff down, or do you think it'll work if I just put it down with some modest water?
I think if you just water it, like just to keep that soil moist as we go into the winter, and that should be just fine for establishing it. That's an important plant for some of our butterflies. I believe sulfur butterflies visit the wild violets. It can get out of control a little bit. Kind of depends where you put it. If you put it in a woodland area, that's great. But you want to just, you know, make sure it's not getting into lots of other places where you don't want it. You can also mulch that area, and you could use some of your fallen leaves for that. That would be a perfect mulch for wild violet, thinking about where they normally grow in like a woodland area.
Okay.
That will help hold the soil and keep the soil moist.
Another caller, Todd, calling in from Ramsey this morning. Todd, thank you for waiting. What is your question for John or Julie?
Thank you for taking the call. We have an hydrangea. I'm going to use the word tree because it's on a single mm-hmm. stem coming up out of the ground, comes up yep. about 4 feet, and then all the branches emanate from there.
Right.
Do we prune the flowers off at this time of year, or do we wait till spring?
I would wait till spring because they offer some nice winter interest through the winter. It's not going to hurt the plant if you leave them on. And we want to avoid pruning woody plants. I mentioned this a little bit earlier. You might have missed it. But when you prune a woody plant this time of year, it can prompt new growth, and that new growth won't harden off before winter. So we typically wait until spring for those hydrangeas to be pruned. And we do have a great video on pruning hydrangeas. So it'll be a little bit different because you have what's called a hydrangea on a standard. But essentially the principles are the same. You're just going to deadhead it. And you can watch that video for more information.
We had a question at the top of the show about planting garlic. This texter wants to know, can you plant garlic in a pot? If so, when's the best time?
You can plant it in a pot. I would sink the pot in the ground or cover it. It does need some cold period. So I would go ahead and if you're going to grow it, say, outside, you'd want to sink that pot or cover it somehow. It's a little sketchy sometimes with containers because containers will freeze solid pretty fast, and that can be detrimental to the bulbs. But you could try that. I have never mm-hmm. tried it in a pot like that. You can plant it. Yeah, I don't know. Give it a shot.
John, a couple of lawn questions for John. First one, how long should I cut my lawn before winter, and how can I encourage new growth in the spring? Well, I'll let you answer that one.
Yeah, you can lower the height of that you're mowing your lawn going into the winter as you're mowing and mulching the tree leaves in your lawn. Typically I would not go below 2 inches, and I would gradually take it down from whatever height you have it at now. So if you're at 4 inches or 3.5 inches, I would take it down 0.5 inch at a time between mowings, so that way the plants can actually tolerate it. We don't want to shear or scalp that lawn just for the advantage of mulching the tree leaves a little bit better. Lowering the mowing height before the winter can help with snow mold. It can also help with either collecting or mulching the tree leaves going into the winter. And it can even help it green up a little bit faster in the springtime.
And before we break, and then we'll grab another phone call too. Good morning. Like Denny's, my lawn is a disaster. Should I try to revive it this fall or write off 2024 and start over next spring?
You know, we try to base all of our recommendations off of past research. We frankly don't have, you know, because this is such a historic drought and these are historic conditions, we don't really have a great idea for what this drought means for our lawns and for our landscapes. So my recommendation, what I've been telling folks is if your lawn is already drought stressed, it doesn't really look like much of the Twin Cities is going to be getting or Twin Cities or Minnesota, excuse me, is going to be getting much more rain in the next 10 days, I would, if your lawn's currently drought stressed, I would go ahead and water it at least once this fall to rehydrate the crowns of the plant. Because in the wintertime, winter stresses are all moisture related, or many of them are moisture related. We don't want to have a drought stressed plant going into a time where moisture is very critical for it to survive another stressful time period. So I would water is the really quick answer if it is drought stressed already.
And I heard this morning on CBS News that the National Weather Service is predicting for our particular area a colder than average winter. Well, let's hope we get some snow cover. We don't want to go through that again. All right, hang on, you guys. We're going to take a quick break. Kathy, you're going to be next up on the phone when we come back after the break here in our Smart Garden Show on News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with us. And welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show here on 830 WCCO. If you're just joining us, Julie Weisenhorn and John Trappi from the U of M answering those lawn and garden questions this morning. Boy, we had so many. I'll tell you what, I promised Kathy in Redwood Falls she would be first up here after the break. Kathy, thank you so much for waiting. What is your question?
Thanks for your help. We have a newly seeded lawn that was professionally seeded around the middle of August. It's been doing really well, and we've been watering it. Now, we live in a wooded area, and we have about an inch or two cover of leaves over the whole lawn. First, I'm wondering, can we rake a tender lawn? And then, second of all, can we water, or can we leave the leaves on? We're trying to figure out what to do with the leaves so that we can water the lawn again.
Sure. So, I would consider just mulching the tree leaves as much as possible as you're mowing. Now, it always, we try to leave as much of the residue on the surface as possible because that can help with returning nutrients from your soil back to your lawn or to your trees. So try not to bag those or remove them. But everything carries with it, and it depends answer, unfortunately. If you have too many tree leaves, and what I always just say is if you're seeing more tree leaves after you mow than you do see grass, at that point I would start looking at collecting them off the surface as you mow going forward. So if you see more tree leaves than grass, bag them. But otherwise, I would just continue to keep an eye on your lawn. Just make sure that those seedlings are getting just enough moisture. But if, since August, they're probably fairly well established at this point with a pretty good root zone and are needing less and less moisture going into the winter.
Okay. I was talking to my daughter yesterday who has a great garden there in Minneapolis. And she has these huge tropical, it looks like a jungle there, and she because we had some cool nights, she brought them into the garage to protect them. But then the forecast, the next day or two was 80, 81, so she hauled them back out again. But this is the time of year that would you recommend getting those houseplants indoors?
Yeah, well, we are going into a stretch of warm weather, but it is a good time to do this because we actually have kind of a luxurious stretch of time to do. You don't have to do it overnight kind of thing, but when you do bring plants in, you want to check them over really well. Make sure that you're not bringing in any hitchhikers, like any insects, and then clean the plants too. Wash them off. You might want to repot them at this point. Put them in a clean pot with some fresh media just to give them a nice start for the winter, and then consider where you're putting your plants. If they're going by a bright window, make sure the window's clean. This is a good reason to clean your windows because that dirt on your windows can filter light and reduce the amount of quality light that the plants are getting. And then just continue watering them. Check them for water, though, before you water houseplants because they're not going to dry out as fast as they did outside. And overwatering is the number one way people kill their houseplants. We do have good information on different kinds of houseplants on our houseplant page on extension.umn.edu at Yard and Garden.
I also wanted to mention, like we always like to do, what a great time of year to get to the Arboretum.
Yeah, the Arboretum's pretty lovely, that's for sure, especially with these long kind of 70-degree days. And lots of things happening out there. There's certainly, John and I are up at the farm area, which is a really cool place to visit. There's the Bee Center up there as well. but lots of good education still going on. You can find that under our classes section on arb.umn.edu. You do need to get a ticket, so be sure to do that. No cost to members, but for non-members, you might want to consider becoming members.
Absolutely.
And then the tickets are on sale already for the winter lights, which is a little scary, but like, whoa, where did the time go? But they're on sale now, too, so you could get those and start planning some winter outings.
Get to the Arboretum, for sure.
Yeah, it's a beautiful
John, place. Looking at, we've got so many, and I apologize if we're not getting more questions answered. We just have so many. We have, the texter says, quack grass in the backyard. If we do the work to remove and replace it, if more quack grass comes through our fence, I presume it will begin to take over the new grass. Is that correct?
Yeah, quack grass is one of those that, it you know, once you have it in an area, you tend to keep it. And unfortunately, because it just spreads by rhizomes, it's not that aggressive of a spreader. Most of the time it gets into certain areas as a contaminant in weed seed for, you know, as poor seed quality and things like that. But it's pretty much everywhere in the environment. It's very difficult to control. If you are trying to control it, I recommend using a non-selective herbicide like glyphosate. That works best by moving the chemical down into the plant to kill off the quack grass. And it typically takes 2 to 3 applications spaced several weeks apart between each one. I would wait until you can try to do that this year, but it's really starting to shut down for the rest of the fall. You might have to wait and try to do this next spring when it's more actively growing, just to make sure that you got all of it, if indeed you're trying to remove it.
Kind of touched on this a couple of times, John. As dry as it is, texter says, should I put off fertilizing and spraying until spring?
Yeah, if your lawn is really drought stressed right now, I mean, there's just pockets of Minnesota that have gotten some rain, and so they're not quite as stressed. You know, I'm sure those folks are probably thinking we're all crazy talking about how dry it is. But if it is already drought stressed, just don't encourage it to grow more now by you know, fertilizing or by doing any kind of weed or pest control. So if it's drought stressed, I would hold off on those until the springtime. If it isn't, or if you have an irrigation system and you can revive it, then I would, maybe you can fertilize still in the next week or two if we continue to get these warm temps, but otherwise I would wait till next spring.
Okay. When is the latest I can plant fall bulbs, texter wants to know.
You can still plant fall bulbs. We've got, again, kind of this luxurious stretch, which makes it really easy to finish up our garden work. And bulbs are one of the greatest things to do because they are so pleasant in the spring and just so nice in the yard. And so now you can do that. If you are planting things like tulip bulbs, you want to protect those tulip bulbs. Plant them in big clusters if you can, and then cover them with chicken wire. Anchor it down with just big staples or somehow hold it down just to prevent the squirrels from digging them up because they love tulip bulbs. So protect them with that chicken wire.
Okay. We've got about a minute plus to go on the show. We have, texter says, natural grasses as part of our landscaping. Should those be cut back in the fall?
I like to leave those up in the winter because they, again, offer a lot of winter interest. So I would just hold off and just get to them in the spring.
Yeah, we do that too here.
Yeah, I leave mine up.
Yeah. What's the best way? I think we have time here. What's the best way to grow my own? The mums are expensive. What's the best way to grow my own from the plants I bought this year?
Well, those mums are patented, so propagation is technically frowned upon, but you can take cuttings of them, and you can just take a cutting of the newer growth and dip it in a little bit of root tone and then put it into, say, some perlite. Keep it moist. You can also use vermiculite or just even construction sand that's weed-free. And keep it moist, and when it develops roots, you can pot it up in a pot.
We are out of time, Julie and John. Thank you so much. Get to the Arboretum. Get to the university's website, extension.umn.edu. Get to Loose Line Orchard tomorrow.
Yes.
What time, Julie?
We start at 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock, and then November 2, I think, November 2nd, you're going to be at Brewfest.
Taka Brewfest. You can get tickets
online. Excellent. Thank you, John. Thank you, Julie. Always fun.
Thanks, Denny.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You bet. You bet. Talk soon. Julie Wisenhorn and John Trappe from the University of Minnesota.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.